Sill.
Yes.
Malcolm McConnell, Sill, how are you?
Okay, fine. Let me get downstairs.
Okay.
I got some stuff down there.
Okay.
Hang on.
Righto. July 5th, 1984, correction, 11:38 Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay, you there?
Yeah, I just, I talked to, Fred, I'm sorry, to Glenn Nordine, he just called me, and I also got your note that you had called, so.
Yeah, right. I started out this, odyssey with Moyer. Before that, I started, with some background on Nordine told you something?
Yeah, he said that, Bo Greitz had, come forward to Fred, I guess, and said that he had found Lance's class ring?
No, he came forward to me.
Oh, okay.
And, it started, in May, and, this is a letter from a gal who was, connected with the, MIA POW movement,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, so then she in turn contacted me, with Greitz, or he got a hold of us. Now, the first shot was that they had this letter, and I mean this ring, and it was kind of confused about like it was almost like it was a ransom, and there was a couple of versions that how much it would cost for us to get this ring, and that he needed the money or something like that for his cause.
That Greitz needed the money, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had different figures of what kind of money do they have? They're 150,000. And it would be $5,000 to $7,000, and he would give them. I was at the point where I was so excited about this, you know, I was going to give him money.
Geez, I'm glad you didn't.
No, I know. So nothing happened, see, and he was supposed to get back to us with the ring and everything. So, in the meantime, there's a man in Michigan who has been in touch with us now, and his name is John Mangum, M-A-N-G-H-A-M.
Uh-huh.
And he has a business card, Evergreen Resources, Precious Metals, Exploration and Development, Carson City, Nevada. And he was in a hospital in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And he is on this group with Greitz.
Yeah.
And they call themselves Project Lazarus.
Yeah.
And so now, this last, this Mangum was on the phone with Jane several
uh-huh.
times. And so that he was wanting to present the ring. He had the ring. He has it in his possession.
Mangum does or Greitz?
Mangum.
Yeah.
No, Greitz gave it to Mangum, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And Mangum wanted to present to us, but then he started that there would be press coverage there, see?
Yep.
And so my first rush of enthusiasm, I thought, oh, that would be great. Something nice for Lance, and I think Lance would want that.
Yeah.
Ring, and we would be happy to have the ring.
Yeah.
And then, second thoughts, as this thing started to come around full circle, we got a letter, a rather lengthy letter from, was sent to Mangum from Bo Greitz.
Uh-huh.
And the title is The Return of Lance Sijon Academy Ring to Family.
Uh-huh.
And, I read much of this to Moyer. He was the first one I talked to. I had something else to talk to him about, but I also wanted to start to put this thing and get some feedback on it. So I told Jane, well, then Jane had said, okay, they're going to present the ring Saturday or Monday.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, well, I guess it's all right. I said, I don't know why we have to, you know, go according to their calendar, though. And so that was going to be NBC and the Washington Post, somebody representative, and the press and the coverage.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you read this letter, then you see then also, obviously, it's Greitz wants exposure for his cause.
Yeah.
But I see it as an even bigger, a larger, greater significance. I also talked to he called back. It's a Colonel Mike McRaney, and he is the Deputy Public Affairs Officer for the Air Force.
Uh-huh. How do you spell his last name?
McRaney?
Yeah. M-A-C?
M-C, yeah. Capital R-A-N-E-Y. I got his number.
Okay.
So Moyer got a hold of him, and then he in turn contacted me that same night,
yeah.
Which was the 3rd. And the first, of course, his first response, I suspected, but, you know, the little bit you read in the paper, they said that Wrights was a real, real stick in the mud.
Yeah. He's kind of a crook. I mean,
well, that's what this guy said, too, you know. And I was putting this thing together with Jane, and I said, you know, why the hell would he be asking us for money in May, you know? Like, he said he needed the money for his cause, and it would cost, like, 2,000 maybe.
Yeah.
For instead of 5,000,
yeah.
7,000.
He began with 7, came down to 5, and finally he said 2, huh? Something like
that. He said something like 2, and I said to Jane, I said, well, I would offer him 1.
Yeah.
And, there, of course, I had... there again, you see all these first shots at something, and then after you cool down and try to... So I didn't hear anything about from him from May until lately, when this Mangum, in the last week or so, this Mangum is doing getting into the act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Greitz has got a great deal of sympathy feelings from, you know, POW groups, MIA groups.
Sure he does. Yeah.
Because they feel that the United States government has not done its share to really release prisoners. And my wife feels there are prisoners alive there. And I say to my, I tell her if there's 1 or 2 or something, I would be surprised, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, speaking of about that, you know, Jim Hankey, he was a special forces officer in Vietnam on 2 tours.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in Thailand also,
mm-hmm.
in Laos. He, in 1974, I guess, well, I'm not sure the exact years, but in the 1970s, he served as a lieutenant colonel. He served on the Joint Casualty Resolution Board.
Uh-huh.
And I think he spent 3 years here working out of the Pentagon on that that job. He feels absolutely, and, you know, of course, he knew Lance as I did in high school, he feels absolutely 100% positive that there are no living POWs in Indochina. He also feels, and I think also, that probably the Russians took some of the air crew who were shot down over in Indochina,
mm-hmm.
and took them back to the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. So some may be there.
Or they're dead.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, some of the B-52 crews, for example, who knew stuff about the B-52s,
uh-huh.
I think the Soviets got a hold of them. The North Vietnamese couldn't use that information. The Russians probably took them. But anyway... When I interviewed Jim Hankey for the book,
mm-hmm.
and we had, you know, a couple days of interviews going over the maps of the region and all that, talking about what Lance went through, Jim said that Bo Greitz is an absolute, you know, ruthless bastard,
uh-huh.
and a publicity hound and everything else.
Uh-huh.
And I think what I will try, if you would like to talk to Jim Hankey about Bo Greitz, I can get a hold of Jim and have him call you.
Uh-huh. Well, here's my our problem now is I would like to have, if these people were sincere about just getting us the ring,
yeah,
I'd just like to have them give us the ring in private.
Of course.
And let it go at that. But, you know, here's something else now. I have to read this to you.
Okay.
Do you have the time now?
Yes, of course I do.
Okay.
Obviously, yes.
Okay. Now, there's some of these things I'm going to be reading them out of context, and I'm going to get a copy to you.
Okay, fine.
I can tell you that.
Okay, so
I feel that I owe all you know,
right,
a lot to you. And in fairness, according to the man who presented me with the ring, it was Lieutenant Sight. Now this is the 3rd paragraph I'm reading. Final wish that, quote, somehow, sometime, return this ring to my family.
Yeah.
Now, my agent was reportedly present when a plane crashed near his mountain home. He says that he hid one of the men in his thatch mud house and searched the aircraft wreckage for what he understood might be another survivor. He located the body of an American and removed an ID card and diary. He still has these items, and at the time of this report is en route to get them. He constantly reminded me of a promise to an American he sheltered and helped until the Viet Cong came and took him away. This urge of his conscience and the fact even in his remoteness he had learned of our efforts to rescue POWs still alive in communist Asia caused him to risk life and limb to seek me out and present the ring. It is paragraph. It is only a coincidence that I received the ring at the same time Reader's Digest ran the Cy John story. I first heard of the ring through one of my agent handlers more than 6 months ago. At that time, it was casually reported as, quote, a military ring available through Lowell villagers on the Vietnam border, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
I had little interest since over the years, many items identified as belonging to MIAs have turned up and no positive way to determine the owner. They are generally expensive to obtain, can expose the couriers to great danger, and tends to encourage the production of false information.
Yeah.
In this case, I gave instructions to pursue the ring only if it could be delivered and examined before my rewards or expenses were paid. Months went by with repeated reference to a man with both POW information and military ring. I finally authorized contact and movement by my indigenous underground of the man in the ring to the location of an agent supervisor in Thailand. The man now referred to as Ring Man, quote unquote, reported with two other male witnesses from his village 150 miles distant on the Laos-Vietnam border. Indeed, he had a military ring. The details were telephoned to me, and I authorized payment of the expenses and a reward. I was put in contact with the father and mother of Lieutenant Cy John. They confirmed that their son's Air Force Academy ring had never been returned. Subsequent to that time, I was a position to secure a ring and interview the eyewitnesses. I photographed them and taped the verbal responses, and because of their insistence that they knew the exact location of the POW camp in Laos that Lieutenant Cy John was initially taken to, I paid and asked them to go there and determine the status of the camp today. They all confirmed that during the war, many Americans were held there. They were convinced many still may be captive there. I requested Ringman return with ID and notes from that dead airman he found the day Lance became his guest. You should tell the Cy John that Ringman spoke with grace, respect, of pride, and, quote, the long time, unquote, he was able to hide Lance from the enemy. He said the ring gave him his dog tags initially. He said that Lance gave him his dog tags initially and kept the ring. But on the day North Vietnamese soldiers closed in, he quickly asked for his ID tags and, taking the ring from his finger, gave final instructions for its delivery back to his home. Ringman says he was taken with Lance to the prison camp and interrogated by communists. Because of the obvious injuries suffered in the crash by Lieutenant Cy John, the VC bought the story that the villager had no alternative but to house the American. He said they asked him repeatedly about a, quote, ring, but he steadfastly denied ever having seen a ring. Now, why would they ask him about a ring?
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Before the capture, hid it securely in the thatched roof. Okay, now all of this is like a Hollywood script.
Yes, it is.
Or something for Inquirer magazine.
Yeah.
And the things, you know, about having held Cy John for a long time, that's why I wanted you in on this. I was trying to get a hold of Gruters again and jog his memory, and I don't know, I'm wondering how much you want to, like Gruters and Kaz, all right, Kaz would know. He's at the Air Force. I think he's still at the Air Force Academy. He was the
He's gone to Air War College at Maxwell Field.
Okay, you know that. And what I'm saying is, number one, Nordine did not think that Lance would wear an Academy ring on a flight.
He was against regulations for one thing.
Yeah, maybe in a hurry because he came back from R&R or something.
Yeah.
It's possible. We did not find the ring. Of course, we were aware of that immediately when his effects were returned. Now, Kaz would probably corroborate that there was no ring. I think he would, you know.
The let me just say this when I'm thinking of it. Guy Gruters, when he was shot down, he had his Academy ring on because he had just gotten back from medical leave.
Uh-huh.
And he wore his ring on that mission.
Okay.
And when, as soon as he was captured by the militia up in southern North Vietnam, they tied him up and they were trying to get the ring off.
Mm-hmm.
And he was clenching his fingers so they couldn't get it off. He didn't want to lose his Academy ring.
Mm-hmm.
So a guy whips out a knife and is going to cut his finger off, at which point he relaxed and let the guy take the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Guy, and I've got all this on tape and transcribed also, he said those people were so desperate for anything valuable,
mm-hmm.
ring, watch, whatever it might be, that they immediately took it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you know, the thing about this, too, if there's any truth at all, it counters all your research and all the evidence that Moyer had and the
yep.
people in the airport
yep.
had.
Yep, yep.
This idea that, to my recollection, Lance never at any time told Reuters or Craner that a native took care of him.
No, sir. He did not.
Okay. Now, that in itself strikes me as being extremely unusual, because when he was talking, he was obviously speaking, Lance was speaking about the most significant things that happened to him during his shoot down and afterwards and things like that.
Yes, he was.
You cannot, it's very hard for me to believe that that would not have been a significant thing. And that he would, you know, said something to Craner and Grutter.
There's something else, though, we should think about, too. A couple things. Let me interrupt you a second.
Go ahead.
Lance was not the kind of guy, you know this better than me, much better than me, obviously, mm-hmm. but I know it about Lance, too, from the time he was a Boy Scout. Lance is not the kind of guy that would cover up something good or bad about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He'd tell it like it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's to me, that's been very important. Two, Lance scraped the flesh and muscle off his body somehow. He didn't do it sitting in some thatched hut.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't go from 192 pounds to
yeah.
about 100 pounds.
There you go.
Being fed by a Motonyar tribesman.
Yeah, that's right. There was no flesh. I mean, this was a really common knowledge, you know. I mean, the doctor in Hanoi, even, of course, you know.
Yep.
Comment about that. Yeah.
It was in the official North Vietnamese medical report of First Lieutenant Lance Saigon, cause of death and everything, and it talked about extreme weight loss right there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, besides, Guy Grutters and Bob Craner, both of whom were tough soldiers, were shocked at the sight of Lance.
Sure. I mean, this is, you know, this has a line of consistency about it, you know, that the fact, you know, that what came up and what you wrote about, and of course this here is like a shot in the dark, and the thing that I'm disturbed about is that they would want to capitalize on the story. Now, if this man, you know, this agent handler and this go-between guy, ring man and all that, if they were to come forward and, or if this, just let's speculate, if this ring man was so concerned about returning the ring, he would wait 17 years?
It sounds to me, it stretches the imagination.
Yeah. Now, conceivably, Lance may have, you know, given somebody a ring. I'm not saying this is true, but he may
yeah.
have given somebody a ring to let us know that he was alive or something. See? But this fellow's never, this man, this native or whoever, was never able to get through to us or anything like that, and that was
yeah.
a long, long time. Now, like you say, they were really clutching for valuable for those people, you know, a ring like that who had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they would grasp that. Now, I also got this, prior to this, now, I don't know what the connection is, on June 6th, I got a letter from the Department of Air Force, Missing Persons and Inquiry Division, Casualty Mortuary Matters, and they were saying now that the policy of preventing next of kin with new information pertaining to missing or otherwise accounted for individual.
Yeah.
We recently received information pertaining to your case which was not previously provided to you. In keeping with our policy, we are forwarding the information as an attachment to this letter. Please note that this report has not been finally evaluated and the matter is being investigated further.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go on, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but they're telling about how they received 32 reports from reports from persons claiming to have information concerning the recovery of remains of U.S. servicemen who were lost in Laos.
Yeah.
16 names appeared in these reports. Nine were American servicemen, 8 U.S. Air Force and 1 Army who were unaccounted for in Laos. Another 16 names, other 16 names of the U.S. officer who was captured in Laos by the Army's People of Vietnam.
Yeah.
People's Army of Vietnam and taken to Hanoi where he died in captivity. This man's remains were repatriated to the U.S. government in 1974. That's obviously Lance.
Yes.
Of the remaining six names, the three cannot be identified with any former servicemen, and three belong to former servicemen.
Yeah.
Then they give the names, and then it says again this paragraph. This one year it follows with one U.S. Air Force officer, the First Lieutenant Lance V. Sajan, whose name appeared in the dog tag reports, died in a hospital in Hanoi in January 1968. His remains were turned over to the United States government by the Vietnamese in 1974. They also said they had a mandible of a man, person.
Yeah.
And, come here. In paragraph, in July 18, 1983, JCR, this is a joint committee, contacted by an American citizen living in Thailand who had heard from an unnamed informant later in identified that about 1.5 months earlier, the informant had seen the lower jaw of a United States Air Force pilot and an ID bracelet on which was written United States Air Force Academy 1965 Lance Peter Sajan. If the American citizen knew who had possession of the ID bracelets and mandible, he did not share the information with our committee. The Joint Committee advised the American citizen that although Lance Sajan was a resolved case, we would be interested in obtaining the mandible and the ID bracelet. That's a paragraph among many.
Yeah.
In the official.
Yeah.
It tells about the, there's a whole hodgepodge. Now, this is the Air Force stuff that came, that
yeah.
has come into them, see?
Yeah.
So now, the bottom line right now, and the reason I wanted to get together with you and get this through to you, is we called the Mangan and told him that we did not want to proceed with the presentation of the ring on Saturday or Monday.
Yeah.
And we did not give a definite date. And I first would think, well, we'd want at least a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah.
And so I want to get some, you know, other things. But there, here again, what I'm concerned about, just like I have been with you, and I'll get into that with you some other time, it turned out okay about the book and the story. And my concerns were allayed, but I would do it the same way again.
I understand completely.
And so now here is the same thing. I still, you know, want to protect the family. I don't want, these reporters can be vicious.
Yes, they
if
can.
If you get the wrong guy, it comes from Inquirer, and I guess the public is getting used to that, but it could be, there the public would probably get back to our family some way and with
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, I understand so.
Means. So, now, I don't want to be in the middle of this thing, see, which is where we squarely are, and maybe I can't, maybe it's unavoidable. But I would, my preference would be, number one, to have the Air Force and Greitz hammer this out.
Yep.
And if you want to be the mediator or coordinator or what, to some extent, you know, it might come out that, well, the authenticity of your story would be challenged.
Yes, it will. Obviously, the authenticity of the book, which I would hope will be the sort of the definitive military biography of Lance Sajan, is being challenged by this.
Mm-hmm.
And if they ever get around to making a movie, you know, obviously it would be challenged too.
Yeah, but now they're going on this one native. What I'm saying, can they produce him? Can he come forward? You know, all this is, this point paper says, Reagan says that, what's his name, going to Cuba and pulling out these prisoners and all
yeah.
this is illegal.
Yeah.
Okay, so then by the same token, is Greitz is working from an illegal?
Well, he went to Thailand, to Nakhon Phanom, Thailand, which is on the Lao-Thai border. It's the old air base there. And he was eventually kicked out of Thailand by the Thai authorities. Now, he says because he was going in and out of Laos, and Greitz claims that the U.S. government asked the Thais to kick him out because they were embarrassing the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
The Thais said it was, you know, he was breaking Thai law by crossing back and forth across that border.
Well, see, you know, these are the kind of things that could lead on and on. And
yeah.
And I, I don't think I'm naive or anything else, but, you know, the thing like the presidency of the United States, his credibility and everything hinges on something like this.
Yeah. Well, also...
Not without over-dramatizing.
Also, the credibility of the memory of Lance Sijon.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Who?
That's what I told Jean. I said, she said, well, gee, don't you want the ring, you know? I said, I want Lance's true memory more than I want the ring.
Something you got to bear in mind, Phil, is I know that you're not trained to read maps and everything, but I know how to read maps and what have you. And I had those very detailed charts, and I saw the country where Lance parachuted into, where they tried to rescue him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the kind of country where there'd be thatch-roofed huts up there.
That's right. This guy lived in a house someplace, you know.
Yep. And
yeah.
Okay, that's one point. They tried to rescue Lance. They knew, they saw Lance's smoke originally from his flares
mm-hmm.
on the top of a big karst, which is very steep limestone with the jungle on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Lance had a broken leg. They, at one point he said the penetrator, the jungle penetrator was within a couple feet or 3 feet of him, but he couldn't get through the vines. Okay. That does not sound to me like there would be a tribesman up there. Okay, that's one point. Point number two is, when Lance flew, according to everybody who saw him that day, he was in good shape. He was, you heard his tapes, you read his letters, he was working out, he was running.
Yeah, right.
He was cutting back on the smoking, he never smoked very much anyway. He was really getting himself in good shape.
Yeah.
He weighed between 185 and 195 pounds when he was shot down. When he was captured 6 weeks later, so, okay, let's be very accurate here and say 7 weeks later when Guy Gruters first saw him, Guy said he could pick him up like a child. And Guy's a big fellow, okay, but,
yeah.
You know, Lance had lost probably more than half his weight.
Okay,
And the flesh was literally scraped off of his back of his legs and his hips and what have you from dragging himself. Guy saw this with his own eyes, and so did Bob Craner. That, to me, does not sound like a person that was in a hut.
That was being taken care of.
Yep. And even if it would have been a poor villager, okay, you know, a poor tribesman, he would have had some food. There wouldn't have been that extreme weight loss.
That's right. Well, when they used this, like, out of context, and they said took care of him for, quote-unquote, long time.
Until, and this is the important part, until the Viet Cong, they said,
yeah.
came and took him.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, Lance, the man took care of Lance, and then Lance was captured from his custody.
Yeah, so...
From his care, rather.
Yeah.
So that means that Lance never dragged himself through the jungle.
That's right.
How did Lance incur those injuries?
Yeah, and why would he talk about falling down to get from one place to another?
And hurting his head over and over again.
Yeah.
And his fingers, Guy, you know, I spared you a lot of those details, but from the tapes, obviously, but Guy said his fingers were worn down to the bone from dragging across that stone.
That's right. Now, there's a possibility in anything, but there's also a lot of contradiction here. And anyway, it's enough evidence for me that, you know, the contradiction type of thing is that I'm convinced that I wouldn't want to go whole hog and
yeah.
Accept this story or anything like it, because this just came out, you know, so like a secondhand thought and
yeah.
An afterthought.
Yeah.
And well, we're dealing with something that is being handled like it wants publicity.
Yeah. Syl, do you know what Lance had written inside, had inscribed inside of his ring?
Well, we had a ring made of stone.
Yeah.
And not silver, it's white gold.
White gold, okay.
And it has a blue stone, but in the ring that was made, there was just the initials LPS.
Okay.
In scroll. Now, Jane called this company and asked for one of the top people. She actually asked for the president of the company,
yeah.
and she got somebody else who might be a vice president. It
yeah.
turned out that he has an extra interest in this because it turns out that he is a sure-tailed relative, or his wife was, her name was Attridge.
Uh-huh.
who was then would have to be related to one of Jane's through one of Jane's uncles or aunts or something.
Yeah, right.
So he has particular interest in, and he would then he said about the printing. Some chose the printing and some chose the letters, but they destroyed the records, all the records after 15 years.
Yeah.
So they don't have a record, but they have some people that were working there and would know, you know. In other words, Jane said she would like to have him authenticize the ring if and when such a time came, and they could tell by the type of stone.
Well, there was only, I think it's pretty straightforward because there was probably only one person with the initials LPS in the class of 65 from the academy.
Yeah, could be.
I just, you know, say the class was 1,000 grads. You know, the chances of there being another LPS who served in Indochina and lost his ring.
Well, no, these people are saying that the inscription, they're describing an inscription in the ring here, see?
Okay.
Now, wait, the Air Force people, this joint committee, this says, now, produced a slip of paper on which is written, this is something else. So for U.S. Air Force 65, AC Academy 6667, Mr. Luntz, L-U-N-C-X, Peter, S-I-J-A-E-N, Camahumahuni Province. That came from some information that the Air Force people got. And I'm trying to look here quickly. I have 1,000 papers in front of me, but there was an indication in one of these pieces of correspondence that, well, at one time or another, they said, they described this item as either a medal one time, a chain, a wrist chain or whatever, another time, and a ring another time.
Yeah.
So that was the type of information they were getting.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was printed, the name supposedly was printed. It says U.S. Air Force Academy, here I got it, 1965 Lance Peter Sijun. They spell it S-I-J-U-N.
Yeah.
And that came through, had seen the lower jaw, and, they called it an ID bracelet. So we never knew of Lance having a bracelet. Now, there you go. We don't know if they're talking about the ring or the bracelet now.
If he did have one, I can't imagine wearing it on a mission.
No, right.
You know who would know, of course, two people would know, probably Joe Kaz and Lenora.
Yeah, Lenora would know if he had a bracelet.
Yep.
Kaz might know if he had a bracelet. And, of course, by that time, supposedly, Guy Gruters would know because he must have been stripped. Now, the dog tag, we have a dog tag, but there was more than one dog tag, you know.
There are two,
Well, then we have one of them.
Yeah. Well, the North Vietnamese returned that. With Lance's remains.
Ah, yeah, right.
Okay. Just some thoughts that occur to me. One, if Lance had his ring on, when he was captured in that first holding camp there, they might have just taken the ring off of him.
That's right.
And the North Vietnamese Army on the Ho Chi Minh Trail used a lot of local tribesmen as workers. And, you know, as...
Yeah.
You know, porters and coolies and trackers and everything else. The guy that actually had the ring might have been the guy that helped capture Lance.
Yeah. That's
and right. as soon as he found Lance, he took the ring off of him.
That's right. There's so many possibilities. I don't know. He's describing this as a substantial. It writes as like this was a busy prison camp.
Yeah.
And that isn't, according to Gruters, there was only a couple of huts there, or what?
Yeah, it was supposed to have been a work camp, a work site on the road, you know, several huts. It was actually a native village where the North Vietnamese had some equipment and tools and, you know, shovels and that kind of stuff. And they had a place where the trucks could hide under the trees from the airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they had a little medical... you know, very rudimentary medical dispensary, and that's where they had Lance.
Mm-hmm. Well,
see, Gruter, not Gruters, Greitz has this theory that there's a big prison camp inside Laos someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like he's trying to prove it.
Well, was this in Laos where Lance was in prison with Bruders and Craner?
No.
No.
No, that was in just north of the town of Vinh, V-I-H-N, in North Vietnam, on the coast.
Yeah.
Where Lance was held originally was up on the Ban Kari Pass, B-A-N-K-A-R-I Pass, and that was due east of the Bon Lavoy Ford where Lance was shot down. According to Lance, that's where they took him. They took him up to the pass there where this road camp was.
Yeah.
That's what Lance told Gruters and Craner.
Yeah, right. And Lance knew where he was, and he knew where he wanted to go.
Sure he did, yeah.
And so, of course, they found, did they actually find him in Vietnam or Laos at the road?
Probably on the western side of the pass, which was just inside Laos.
Oh, it was actually inside Laos.
That's as far as I can get from what he told Reuters. He got to the road itself, and that's where they found him on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Well, see, that alone, the fact about the Christmas Day, that I'm sure that would have been significant to Reuters and Craner.
Yeah, they remember that, and the North Vietnamese told them that too.
Yeah. So, well, where do we go from here now?
Okay, let me give you a suggestion. You're trying to find out from the ring company what the ring actually said?
No, Jane already talked to her, her cousin there.
Yeah.
And he just said he passed on these thoughts, that it was a choice, and it could have been either way, either the printing or a scroll initials.
Yeah.
So that leaves us nowhere. And I haven't seen the initials, the ring, but I believe that Jane has some notes here somewhere with a conversation with this
Mangum.
Mangum, yeah. Mangum. I think he said it was printed, you know, Lance Peter Sijon and the Air Force Academy in 1965 inside the ring.
Okay.
And some mysteries. Mangum, he's been calling from a hospital, and he's supposed to be operated on. We don't ask him what the operation is.
Yeah.
But this has been sort of...
Would you like me to talk to Mangum?
That might be a little touchy right now, because Jane was talking to this fella, and then I turned her act around, because she said, oh yeah, well, we'll meet you, and they were delighted that we would get permission for them to meet us with the press.
Yeah.
So after I talked to the second time around to Moyer and everything, and a few days later, I said, Jane, I said, we're not going to go through this. Well, she was kind of upset because she already committed herself.
I understand,
and
yeah.
I said, well,
sure.
that really isn't the important thing. I said, you can change your mind. I said,
yeah,
there's
of course.
Bigger thing involved here. And I said, I just cannot see how we have to accede to a timetable. And another thing, this McRaney said, he said, if you're going to do anything, he said, get the name, the individual, supposedly the reporters, who they work for, and their telephone number.
Yeah.
And he said they can be really, you know, they can make you say, give an answer that you don't even
of course
have
they
in
can.
Mind.
Yeah, if they're unscrupulous and unethical, they can certainly.
Yeah, but if they're oriented, they're conditioned to a certain response, which obviously Greitz would be talking about that. Because, hey, look, we want this so and so and so and so. So now Jane, then the last word from Jane was, she said, now Mangum is going to know that we talked to the Air Force. We didn't tell him who we talked to.
Yeah.
So that answers your question about should you talk to Mangum now.
Yeah.
I would like to, I don't know, I'd like to probe a little bit first
sure.
and find out if we can anything else. But we're working on the outside of this ring now, this circle.
Yeah.
And I basically, if they want to give us the ring in private, you know, okay.
Yeah.
And then if it's and they give us the chance to authenticize the ring, okay.
Yeah.
You know, how can we authenticize if we don't get the ring?
Yeah.
Yes,
you
have to give up the ring, and we'd have to send it to this company.
Yep.
And that's one of the things involved. Now,
another thing you could do would be to have them take the ring. Where's the company located, Sil?
Out east, I think it's either Massachusetts or New Hampshire, Vermont, one of the three.
Well,
southeast England.
The The company probably has a certified public accountant firm that, you know, that does their books. And what they could do would be to send the ring registered to the certified public accountant, have somebody from the, have the person that, that Jane dealt with come from the company to the accountant's office, so they didn't know that there's no question that they altered the ring or anything, and say, in, you know, and then the certified public accountant could authenticate that, you know, that this person stated that this was done.
Yeah, well, it would lead to some detail work, you know.
Yes.
And, it would have to have the cooperation of Mangum. And of course, the way I look at it now, if we came to him with that, I'm sure he'd consider that as a challenge to his authenticity, and you know that we were not sincere about wanting the ring or whatever.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that that Mr. Mangum should have some compassion.
He claims he does. In all his letters, he here's one. It's a written, handwritten, Colonel Bolt written, and those active in Project Lazarus sent to you their prayers. This is very poorly written. And best wishes. He may be having an operation and arm them. I now have Lance's Academy ring, and will present it to you. You read the word I can't say. From the hospital in about 7 to 10 days. This is written Sunday. I don't even know there's no number on it. I'd be very proud of my 19-year-old son, also a pilot, if he continues to develop the same attributes to make your Lance a legend. Just signed Mangum. Some of these people are quite obviously taken by this story. This first contact was a woman who's father, his name is Standerwick, and he is enlisted as MIA, and of course she's in the cause with the League of Families and all that. She is the first one that wrote to me from Garden Grove, and I got so excited, and I called her up, and I says, "You're an angel from heaven." She says, "Oh, I'm not that."
Right.
But I just got, the first shot telling me that they found Lance's ring.
Yeah. Well, there's, as I said earlier, Sil, it to me, it's probably, you know, out of 1,000 guys that graduated from the academy that summer, there's probably only one that says, you know, LPS, and obviously if it says Lance Peter Sajan, that's his ring. He didn't have his ring, he did not leave his ring in his room when Joe Kaz returned all of Lance's private effects.
Right.
So the chances are he had the ring on the mission then, I guess.
Yeah. Could have,
he could have had it on the mission.
Now, do you suppose any possibilities somebody would duplicate this ring some way? Or they said the inside was very legible and the outside was worn.
Well, he
didn't wear that ring that long to have it be worn.
It could have somebody. I mean, I don't know. Let me to answer your question. Let me answer it very thoroughly. A real unscrupulous, dishonest person could get a 1965 Academy ring, have the inside born, you know, scraped out with a lathe, and re-inscribe the name. Sure, it could be done.
Well, you know how things go in international relations.
Yeah.
You know that more
than
indeed.
I do indeed.
You're there firsthand, and I'm speculating because of my suspicious natural nature about the size of subterfuge and
well, I know about Bogreitz is what Jim Hankey and a couple other people have told me. The guy's supposed to be, one, a pathological liar, two, a crook.
There's some screwy, you know. I mean, he's living out in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And this is just personal, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think he's got a new wife or something.
Yeah. Well, The guy is supposed to be, you know, he's very exotic and very publicity conscious and what have you. But let me just explain something else, okay? He's sitting, last year he was sitting on the inside Thailand on the Thai-Laotian border. And he was sending a couple people across to talk to tribesmen inside Laos. Well, he was offering rewards for material and information on American pilots. Because the families were paying him, okay? The families of these MIA people were paying. Now, Let's say the person that had Lance, the tribesman that had Lance's ring, got it when Lance was captured. Maybe he was even part of the search team working with the North Vietnamese soldiers. I'm not saying he's a communist or anything. He was just caught up in the whole thing. So the word comes down, there's an American over across the river who's paying for stuff from American pilots. And this guy's had this ring for years.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to him, and he's not going to say, I was with the NVA. He's going to make up some story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. This part about the money, though, now, great. That's the one. This is the one thing that led me to doubt credibility, the credibility, and have second thoughts. Because I told my wife, I said, when I talked to him on the phone, and that was after this woman, Lynn Standerwick, sent the card, and she told me to talk to him.
To Greitz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, there was this thing about the money. And he absolutely did say that they would have to get some money because they have expenses, you know, to get the ring. And then he started these figures, 7,000, 5,000, around the 2,000 and so forth, that those people had to be paid, see. And a couple of days went by, I said to Ken, I said, well, hell, that's almost like a ransom.
Yes, it is.
I says, so that was just sticking in my craw. It was always in the back there, you know. And when this came up with the most recent developments, you know, I kept thinking, what was the reference, you know? So he's trying to pass by this and saying how he got a lot of different stuff and he didn't pay any attention to it.
See? Yeah.
So they're credible, okay. I'm inclined to be on the side of the United States government and Air Force because Lance is on the side of the United States government and Air Force. Now,
You've
seen some things in your experiences that are neither here nor there or are here and there.
Yeah.
So that we just proceed with what's a basic premise. And I would, or at this point, I don't want to go say I do believe or don't believe, but I would say more that I'd want to go along with the government.
Yeah. Well, let's... Are you aware that there's going to be some bodies sent back from North Vietnam next week?
That's what he says. He
yeah.
says some things are going to happen in a couple of weeks, and that was about this next week, you know.
Yeah.
And
there's a big former POW or MIA meeting going to go on, too. So he's trying to capitalize on the timing.
Uh-huh, yeah. Now, is he going to claim credit for these bodies being sent back?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think the North Vietnamese, the United States government is in constant contact with the North Vietnamese on these missing remains.
Uh-huh.
And the North Vietnamese identified or located the 8 more remains of American, of remains.
Uh-huh.
Which will be sent to the Joint Casualty Center in Hawaii for identification.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what he's talking about. He says something's going to happen somewhere in one of these letters. He says in a couple weeks there's going to be a big thing going to happen. See? Now, I thought that would mean that he was going to come up with some live pilots or something.
Yeah. Well, my own feeling, you know, I was sort of neutral about it. Having been worked for the government or what have you, I had a good idea that certainly the Russians would have wanted to get a hold of some of those American Air Force guys and Navy guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured that's the way wars work.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they would have left them in North Vietnam. I think they would have taken them to Russia. And my own guess is the poor bastards got killed after they got the information from them. That's brutal, but there it is.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things going back to Korea when we were in this League of Families and all that, they were talking about how there's up to 5,000, I believe it was, in Korea who were never identified or returned or there was no information on them.
Yeah.
So this would be that they were shipped off to Russia.
Yeah. Well, I think most of the MIAs myself, I believe, they were shot down inside Laos, bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail and then that horrible jungle, and it's never been recovered.
Yeah. Well, most of the information says that nobody came out of Laos alive as a prisoner.
Well, that's not true. There were quite a few, actually,
uh-huh.
Who actually were captured in Laos, taken to North Vietnam, were held until 1973 and released.
Yeah, right.
Several dozen, I think.
I guess it was after a certain date, though, that
yeah. Okay.
There was no information about
okay.
them.
That may be. I'm not familiar with it. Well, what I can do, Seal, is I can talk to Guy Gruters. I think Guy deserves to be apprised of this if it's okay with you.
Yeah, I say that.
Okay. I will talk to Colonel McRaney and see what the Air Force position is and make sure that General Abel is informed of it.
That's right. Well, he was the first man we were supposed to talk to, General Abel, but General Abel was not in at the time.
Okay.
So Colonel McRaney thought it was important enough to get back to us, and I think that was a good judgment.
Okay. I will. When I talk to Colonel McRaney, I'll pass on the wishes of the Reader's Digest, at least, that General Abel be apprised of this.
I haven't heard what your feedback from Reader's Digest was.
Well, I just spoke to, you mean about this?
Yeah.
I just spoke to Bill Schultz, and he told me to call you and find out as much information as possible.
Okay.
He feels his initial reaction, Bill Schultz's initial reaction was, either the man's got the ring or not.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure he's got the ring.
And if it is Lance's ring, then the chances are it came from Laos.
Yeah.
Now, the story of Lance being held, cared for in his hut for all that time, which would have been, of course, 6 weeks approximately.
Yeah. That's not right, no.
It doesn't make sense.
No. See, when they say long time, what do they mean long time? 2 days is a long time, or 2 weeks is a long time, or 2 months?
And why didn't Lance mention this? I mean, Lance was always a person who was very considerate about people.
Right.
If somebody had helped him, he would have told Guy or Bob Kreiner.
I'm sure. There would have had to have been something. I mean, some little leak. He would have said one word about a native or something.
Unless he was afraid that the North Vietnamese were here. But when they talked, they were private, so.
Yeah, well, no, it's possible. But in Lance's muddled condition, I think his true nature would come out long before or long after his condition,
yes.
You know.
Yeah, I agree.
Any contrived device on his part or an urge for caution, I think that in his condition that there would have been basic responses.
Yeah.
I mean, his nature. So, okay.
I will call Colonel McRaney. I'll talk to Guy Gruters and I'll get back. You're going to be home most of the day or at the office?
I'll be either one of the two.
Okay.
I know I'll be there or here,
okay,
so I will
so.
Appreciate your...
I'll keep on top of this and I'll get back to you today and I'll keep you informed as I go along what's happening.
Right. Yeah, one of the biggest things I'm interested in for my own standpoint is Gruters and Kaz.
Okay.
Now, we're pretty sure that could be Lance's ring. You know, because it wasn't returned, I mean, just from the standpoint that it wasn't returned.
Yeah.
Now, whether Kaz would remember that Lance wore the ring is not likely, but it's possible.
Yeah.
And then, whether Gruters ever saw a ring, he would know.
Yes.
Ever saw Lance's ring, and he also would know if Lance ever said anything about a native guy that helped.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll get back to you, Sil.
Good day. Say hello to your lovely wife. Are you together now?
She gets back from Greece in about 4 hours.
Oh, God. Well, you're going to have your hands full. I called Laverne, you know, and there's no answer there.
Yeah, I think she's up at her church camp, Indian Sands.
Oh, okay.
Good.
I have to, you were very thorough about supplying me with all these phone numbers, and you just wouldn't believe what I got in front of me, you know, with all these different things. The Reader's Digest and all this and your own correspondence. I mean,
yeah.
I have to
it's a big,
say
a
that
big
I'm,
file.
I'm not either time-wise or what, I'm not where I want to be with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you something. Did you get any feedback from the Digest article or the Digest book section?
Oh, yeah, that's what I want to tell you about. Now, it was all so-called positive.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in few. There was maybe 12 letters.
Uh-huh.
And most of them were sent to us, the Reader's Digest, and I don't know if they sent all or chose to keep some or what, but they did forward us to us. And, of course, the one of the most important ones, apparently you know about Kenneth Hayes.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Of course, that's a very, very touching story.
Yeah.
And he wants to be of help. I don't know what kind of job he has, but he would want to be of help with the book.
Yep.
Now, like I told you, the fact that we didn't have a great disruption in our family life and all that turned out very well, and thanks to you, because of the way the story was written, and you could have insisted on more quote-unquote sensational type approach, and
well,
we went through that. But as I told you, I would do it again the same way, and I'm happy the way it turned out.
That's fantastic. Well, we'll work through this one too, and I'll stay on top of it for the next few days, as long as it takes to work this out.
Okay. Well, how do you feel now? This is a little probably too soon for you to respond now. I'm assuming that you want to be involved in this, and
yes, I do.
It's going to be of help to you.
Well, let me say this. My motives are twofold. They're personal and they're professional.
Okay.
Personally, I don't want the heroic legend of Lance Saigon, because it's more than it has become a legend, but it's based on real fact. Mm-hmm. Lance's heroism was exceptional. I don't want that to be cast in doubt by this story, this unsubstantiated story from Bo Greitz.
That's right.
Who has a reputation for sensationalism.
Right.
And that's a personal motive. Professionally, I worked the hardest I ever have on any project on this project with Lance.
Okay.
And I think I did a very good job of doing the research, which other people would have had a very hard time doing.
That's right.
And I don't want all of my hard work thrown up to doubt by some guy, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, that's really you talk all around the thing, but that's really what's kind of at the bottom of this whole thing. This challenges Lance's story as we know it. Now, this would be the story being challenged even long before you got in on it, because I have a whole bunch of notes I was going through here from phone calls telling about the shoot down and everything else from the Air Force, you know.
Yeah.
And all these different sources were all very consistent, all these different versions.
Yeah.
Were all these different people. There's a lot of consistent things there, see.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, geez, I just before I went to Greece in April, I talked to Joe Fitzgerald, who was the wingman. I think I told you we found the wingman, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, he's an engineer now for McDonnell Douglas in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
He said there was definitely anti-aircraft fire that night.
Yeah.
And, you know, so
Well, sure, they could have been hit, but that still wouldn't
have exploded the bombs.
That's right. I mean, the bombs could still have gone off.
Sure they could. But anyway, that's why that bit was in the digest there, that there was anti-aircraft fire, because Joe Fitzgerald was adamant about it. He said, oh, yes, he said, he remembers it very, very clearly.
Oh, well, you built that into the story.
Yeah, I did add it at the very end.
Significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, when he was going in, when they were going in on strike, is that what kind of fire you're talking about, right?
Well, yeah, but the night the plane was lost.
Yeah. On the rescue attempt.
No, the night that Lance parachuted into Laos, the night that he was shot down. There was, originally, I had heard there was no anti-aircraft fire, but when I finally got a hold of Joe Fitzgerald, he said there definitely was, for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, but that was the kind of thing that they would be aiming at Lance's plane.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so, I mean, that's the type of thing that you wrote in the story, and so that's consistent there.
Yes, indeed.
But you did have some, you know, you weren't sure because of these two versions at one point.
Right.
Well, I see what you're talking about. That would be a big black and white thing about whether the things were detonated, whatever.
Yeah.
But, they still could have been defective if it, you know, went off that
soon. Yeah, I think they probably were.